Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Friday Night Huddle for McDonald's Family McValue Box.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's your show coming your way tonight, Friday Huddle style, under the roof at Etihad Stadium. Big game. The Giants once again on the Friday night stage up against the St Kilda Football Club, who have struggled traditionally on Friday nights. Huge lineup of guests coming your way. The best man at Darcy's wedding, the coach of the GWS, Leon Cameron, will join us. St Kilda CEO Matt Finnis can tell us all about those rumours revolving around Nat Fyfe. Judge Juddy will be in the house. There is so much to get through. Luke Darcy is here, Chris Judd is here, Damien Barrett and Luke Hodge is here. First with you, Hodge. Let's start talking about Hawthorn versus West Coast 2 weeks ago. Brilliant performance by your footy club. Great to see you.
Yes, it's a long 2 weeks in football, I guess, as they say. But looking forward to seeing St Kilda tonight. We saw them firsthand last week, and yes, we were poor, but the St Kilda boys were hungry. They were efficient. They moved the ball nicely. Let's see if they can do it against GWS tonight.
John O'Brien has made some interesting comments about you and your coach. We'll discuss that after the first ad break. Darcy's here, Juddy's here, Damien's here. I don't know about you blokes. I got up this morning, dropped the kids off at school, went for a surf for 2 hours, had lunch with the missus, and then had a sleep this afternoon on the couch, Darce.
Fairly nice day for you, how we would have thought.
It was. When I look around me, you've been up since 5 a.m. doing the radio. Damo's been battling around the footy show. Juddy's concerned about the opening and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong at the moment. I think I'm going okay.
And given you've got a fair cocky on the top of your head, Howie, you look like a man who hasn't got a great care in the world. I did notice that earlier. I'm going, mate, that thing is sticking up a good 3 inches above your headphones.
Well, I washed my hair for the first time in 5 weeks this afternoon, Darce. I didn't have much else going on, to be honest. This is a good life.
Absolutely, mate. Now, there's a bit of excitement in the Triple M ranks. We're excited about tonight. GWS St Kilda's got a fair bit, and we'll be all over that tonight. Don't worry about it. But next week, something very special happens, Damo, and the Judd Cave is being opened up for the first time.
For the public?
No. Inner Sanctum, Triple M, Friday Huddle, live from the Judd Cave. Now, we need to get a few things sorted out, Juddy, for a start. Well, first, very kind of you to host us, and we want to be respectful. Is there a dress code? Do we need to bring anything? Or
the traditional dress of the cave is your dressing gown and your slippers. So that's what I'd expect everyone to wear out of respect.
Is that like an eyes wide shut sort of arrangement?
Little mask over the eyes as well.
What is the Judd Cave? For those that might not be aware, describe the setup and what happens in there.
Well, it's sort of a utopian dream where you could be anyone you want to be, Howie.
Oh, wow.
And it's settled beneath the house. So there's
it's like a bunker, is it or not? Is it reinforced concrete?
Reinforced concrete. Not a lot of phone reception down there, Darce. Not a lot of noise escapes.
Is it in the backyard of your house or where is it?
It's underneath the house.
Harry. Underneath the house.
Without giving away the exact location.
Well, like
there's security
style?
Issues. This will all be revealed.
Below the 5 stories above it.
right.
That's where it sits.
And more importantly too, Darce, what do you want us to bring? Because do we bring flowers? Do we bring wine? Do we bring food?
I would have thought the Hill of Grace from you, Purple. you could bring that.
What about a 707? Would that suffice?
707.
Surely it's all supplied.
You would have thought. You'd think they'd cater at the Judd Cave.
A quality person like you, Juddy, it would be all supplied, surely.
No, that is true. The Beck will be upstairs. She'll be very busy preparing the seasonal fruits and hors d'oeuvres, Purple, just to make sure everyone is enjoying themselves.
Hodgie, you're not busy next Friday. You think you'd stop by and...
I should be flying down to Tassie to play Brisbane, but I might pop in on the way down.
Makes sense. Be great for your game preparation, not you, to be in there.
I can't hurt it.
Obviously, launching this for the first time, Darce, being Triple M, we need some big entertainment acts. And I know you're well connected. You've been speaking to Molly Meldrum, Michael Gidiginski, etc. Are you getting any further with producing a musical act for the night?
Foo Fighters, unfortunately, can't quite swing by, but that's where we started. We got to that level, and nothing but your absolute roll gold, A-grade talent. We'll accept in the Judd Cave, and I think that's the sort of level. The excitement, I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Damo. I don't think
you are genuinely excited, right?
Well, I think Juddy thinks it's just a sort of hour and a half on radio. See you later. We're not going anywhere, Damo. This is your old-school lock-in, Juddy. I'm bringing the pyjamas, and I'm staying until...
And when the footy finishes, we're watching Rage, aren't we? Rage through till 6 a.m.
Don't worry about that. It's going to be one of the all-time big nights. Howie will have probably 4 lights for the night.
Three.
Which will take him. That'll tip him over the edge from his normal... He's only allowed 2 normally, Hodgie, so...
I'll have to get Uber on board if we have 3 lights. Right. The good news is, after a lot of wrangling, I believe we have got a musical act. Juddy mentioned a few weeks ago on the show that he was extremely proud that a lady by the name of Lisa Engel, who doubles as Juddy's mum, is going to perform. on the night.
Well, this was brought to our attention because Juddy gave the three votes to Clokey's old man, David.
Said absolutely.
Parents should never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, get involved in their kids' career. And then we reminded him that his beautiful mum, Lisa.
How did this happen, Juddy?
It got away from me. I was living in Perth at the time. Usually I'd be on top of these sorts of issues, but the tyranny of distance occurred and I just wasn't able to squash it.
So she released a song. There was talk that she was going to be playing and singing on grand final day when the Eagles were playing, when you were playing.
Such was the power of the lyrics in the song. The AFL actually offered her a spot on grand final day in 2005.
This is actually a true story, isn't it?
That's actually true. A game in which West Coast ended up playing in. And thankfully, I was able to successfully negotiate an exit from that plan. But that was some testing times.
Well, your mum will be playing, apparently, live and exclusive in the Judd Cage next week. And this is just a little bit of a sample of what Lisa, a.k.a. Juddy's mum...
This was performed live on the Footy Show.
Live on the Footy Show.
2005. We've been able to get a copy of it.
Exclusively, this is what you'll hear next week.
They're playing football and the crowd falls steady.
So that is brilliant. She'll be with us in the Judd Cave next Friday. How do you, as a son, you've done so much to promote your family and they're so proud of you. But when you hear that, I can see you're almost getting a tear in your eye. You must be extremely proud and just, you probably can't wait to see this live, Juddy.
Very proud, Howie. And it's a bit of a creeper. You know, some songs you hear at first and you know that's a hit. This one just grows and grows on you and it's a special moment. And I hope we're paying our royalties too. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that.
He's a commercial operator, Juddy. Straight to the bottom line. What a night that will be.
So next Friday from 6 p.m. we are live in the Judd Cave. All sorts of guests coming in. Your mum, Beck, will be there providing, what did you say, the seasonal fruit platters?
Seasonal fruits and hors d'oeuvres.
Hodgie's real flat. He's trying to change the walk schedule to try and get there. The Ducks just wandered into the back of the box. He won't miss Friday night. He'll be in the Judd Cave on a Friday night.
To the Judd Cave. Now that would add a whole element to
yes.
it.
Yes, it would. Yes, he's giving it a nod.
There was a knowing nod just...
So that'll be next week. Something to really look forward to. Hey, a lot going on in the world of news. Some really interesting comments, Damien, made by Paul Roos. It was reported in the paper today. And it's been one of those stories, and as you explained it to us, that people have questioned, and now someone senior has come out and actually said it.
Yeah, along the lines of, and he published this in the Daily Telegraph interview with Neil Cordy, I think it was, Howie, that the acquisition of Buddy Franklin has basically cost the Swans at the other end, the rookie end of their list and the quality component to it. And while it's an observation I think we've all made when we've assessed the Sydney Swans and talked about it and critiqued it, when it comes from Paul Roos, who was the former coach, obviously, and it carries weight and it's got a fair bit of traction throughout the course of the day. And when you look at the Sydney Swans right now at a 0-6 start to the year, I think it has some really big ramifications for what they now do to get themselves out of this problem and how they go about doing it with big names like Buddy and Tippett, who's not on much less than him.
So I think the essence of the statement, Juddy and Hodgie, was that in securing Buddy Franklin on that amount of money, it's left their list a little skinny without wanting to...
That's the word he used. Skinny yeah. at the back end. You've got a lot of rookies. He said that GWS and Melbourne have more depth as a result of these transactions that the Swans have done. And then no marquee player that gobbles up all the salary cap. That those two teams don't have that marquee player who takes that. And basically said that whichever club goes after Fife will have the same problem.
With obviously the TPP going up, surely that they would have allowed for that. With going up 20% this year and then a couple percent every year after that, surely they would have done those sums and thought it's feasible to get him in there. And in saying that, if they had won either 2014
yeah.
or 2016, are they sitting back going, that's money well spent? It's just the fact that they lost those grannies is now getting pressure put on Bud.
Do you reckon, Dust, that one premiership for the duration of the 9 years of Buddy there is the cut-off point?
Probably.
For the,
I think yeah, you I win that now and ask the question. I think Hodgie's 100% right. They did sign Kurt Tippett the year before. And look, we throw numbers around, Damo, but you're never...
Yeah, it's about 800 for him. And that goes back to 2013 when he started there. He played that blinding preliminary final against your boys, Hodgie, in 2012. Yep. And nearly single-handedly got the Crows into that year's grand final.
Damo, you have to say, unfortunately, that hasn't worked for him. And there's been circumstances. He had a horrible run with injuries, but that's been a fail. as a recruiting, particularly on the amount of money. So your two players, Buddy's been unbelievable and couldn't have done any more, but two players taking a huge chunk of their salary cap. They lost Shane Mumford, was one player I think they probably would like to have kept that got squeezed out. And there probably has been, you know, four or five mid-tier players who would they would prefer to have been on the list, which happens because they're at the same time they're living away from home, allowance has been condensed. So I can understand the theory that it has probably left. In hindsight, to hold you without winning that grand final, it probably leaves the list a little bit thinner than it might have been.
Is that the other thing, they're living away from home allowance? That extra $1 million a year is surely going to take a dent, because that's two really good players.
Extra $2 million dollars it was, Jamie.
Two.
So that's come back into line with all the other clubs, as far as I'm aware, Damo.
Was it $2 million? I thought it was one, but it might, it was maybe more than one. But yeah, has I think this is the first year it kicks in, as in it's back to absolutely normal. There's a phasing out phase of it.
It's a fine line, though, isn't it? Because we were having this discussion this time a year ago about Tom Boyd and how much he was getting paid. I reckon if you said to the Bulldogs now, you're going to pay him $7 million or whatever it is, $1 million a year, but you're going to win one grand final from a really impressive performance by him. Happy
winning
day.
Covers over everything, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
and everything
it
in hindsight is a great result if you win one. And a lot of clubs have gone down the path, and Hodgie, you know, whether that is factually correct or not, where players have probably, Luke Hodge would have got paid a heap more money had he moved clubs, but decided to stay. And you kept, there's a cultural thing with that. Hodgie, do you think that's been part of the success you guys have had?
I think we sort of followed the Geelong model. They said for years that Geelong had taken less money so they could stay as a group. And obviously they won three flags in 6 years, I think it was. And Clarko, that was a big selling point to a lot of the older guys, is take less money, stay as a group. We can bring in some more people that we need. We brought in Chip Frawley for a flag. Ben McAvoy came across to play in too.
Brian Lake
came across, but he was on peanuts because he was a fullback that Western Bulldogs didn't like.
And hello to Brian out there, three-time premiership player.
I had to whack you back at least once. He's given me a few this year. So.
Hey, did that conversation actually take place? Did Alistair Clarkson sit the players down and say, look, we can't pay you what the market dictates, but stay around.
He said that multiple times. Yeah. He said, you're not going to get the financial riches for it right now, but post your career, if you can finish your career with two, three, four-time premiership player, that is going to reward you post your career for the next 30 years. So you might have get in one lump sum as a player, but that's going to help you out when your footy career finishes. And everyone bought into it, and that's why so many blokes stayed for less money.
I think the players are aware that if they see the club running as successfully as Hawthorn has over the last few years, I think where you run into issues is where the players get asked to make that sacrifice and they don't see it around the rest of the operation.
Now, when you've done that for so long and successfully, and then you have the situation that obviously happened last year with two players, famous Hawthorn players, being asked to consider futures elsewhere, and then O'Meara coming in on money that would be more than a lot of players at the club, how does that line up with what you just explained?
But you've got to understand, to get players into your club, you might have to pay them a little bit of overs. So to get Chip Frawley, we might have had to pay more than would play another defender. But the fact is the two guys that left last year wasn't for money. The fact is we had too much reliance on senior guys. Mitch and Louis gave options and they decided to go, but they also would have more responsibility for Tom Mitchell, who comes in who's 23, Jagu, who comes in who's 23, and then you got Liam Shields, Isaac Smith. We needed more responsibility on the young guys who can lead the future of the footy club for the next 5 or 6 years. So that was more so the decision, not so much the money.
What percentage, Hodgie, what percentage as a footballer are prepared to take as a chop in your pay cut to think you're going to have success? Is it, do you look at 5% or 10% or do you look at 20% thinking, but we're going to have success? How big a chunk can you afford to take out with your family, etc.?
I think it's as long as the club are open with you and you're open with them and vice versa. So I couldn't give a number, a figure of what percent, but as long as you're happy with what you're getting, and you hear a lot of reports from external other clubs paying stuff. So it's as long as the club are sort of saying that everyone's on the even same amount, we're not paying anyone $1 million, but they're not going to give away your figures, but it's as long as you're comfortable in how you can live and you're comfortable that your teammates can produce what you want to produce.
And when those blokes you're bringing in are getting paid more money to come to the club possibly than you are, you're taking a bit less and they're getting more?
But that's going to happen, that they'll come into the club, but then as time goes, if you still have the same system, the same belief, they'll take less so we can get someone else in so you can continue to grow the list.
Howie, we spoke just before the break about the Hawthorn situation, one win and five losses. Fox Footy had access to the Hawthorn rooms during their most recent loss, Hodgie, down there in Launceston against St Kilda last weekend. And Jonathan Brown, on his program On the Couch on Monday night, revealed something quite interesting, and I want to get your take on it after this, Hodgie.
I could hear Clarko firing up in the meeting room about 10 metres away, and he gave the boys a fair old strafing. Don't you worry about that. It sounded
didn't
old-fashioned.
Work,
Tell you what, and it was expected. I expected Clarko to fire up, but I didn't expect it to go for about 3 or 4 minutes. And there was a bit of banging going on in there. You would have thought they would come out breathing fire at the start of that third quarter, Jared. Well, they were worse.
A couple of angles to take out of that, guys. Firstly, Hodgie, you've been at that club where Clarko's been there for 13 years. The way John O'Brien described it was pretty ferocious. Where did that spray rank amongst Clarko's sprays?
That was actually Clarko just talking to us. But, if he wanted to spray, he should have heard after the game. But although, as I said, Clarko is a passionate person, and we obviously haven't been playing that well this year. But I more thought that the fact that it's taken Fox or Seven, whoever, to get 13 years to get into Clarko's rooms, because Clarko's never been a massive tick for
media
coming into the footy rooms, especially during it. And then the first time where you see someone in there, they go and drop what happened at half time. So
that'll be it for that.
I'm not too sure that's going to be invited back
just
in.
Just another 13 years, Damo.
Yeah.
But I think Brandy was just saying what he observed. Yeah, we were playing terrible football. Clarko may have raised his voice a few times. But that's just his way of motivating. Like the amount of times that he's said stuff and I guess raised his voice and tried to geez up at half time, we've come out and had a really good third quarter. On the weekend, it wasn't the chance. So we've come out of the game thinking, well, he was no different to normal. But obviously, Brownie never been in there, never heard Clarko, thought it might have been a bit more than what it was.
Is the old fashioned spray still part of footy, Hodgie?
Oh, yep.
It's been your environment. It is. I get the feeling that there's a generation of coaches that use that one very sparingly, a couple of times a year.
I think it's who it's directed at. If it's a general pump up, voices raised, might be a few swear words. But sometimes, especially with, I find that a lot of younger guys now, they're a bit more sensitive than what they were in the past. So if you sit down and eyeball someone at halftime or during a game, you're not going to get the best out of them. Some blokes need to be cuddled, need to be more directed in. You should have done this. You should have done that. Rather than rah rah rah. So I think what Clarko's good at and what a lot of coaches these days are good at is they know who to give a bit of a spray to pump up and who to like put your arm around and give a bit of a cuddle.
Who at the Hawks can he generally go at knowing that they'll be okay with it?
The Mitch and Louis were good ones that he used to be able to give to and respond. I guess it's more the old-fashioned guys who, I guess, grew up. A lot of the country guys have grew up copping sprays or being around people that have copped sprays
in
the past.
And is it singling out something specifically? What's it entail, mate?
No, it might be one small incident that he finds that it might not even mean that bad, but he knows it. If he can get India, that you're going to perform a bit better. It might be something minor, but yeah, it's normally something he's seen just before the break where he wanted to maybe hit to put the rest of the boys on notice, but he might go through a senior person to do it.
Hodgie, was there a feeling after the West Coast win in round five, your first for the year, that you might have got things back on track and that there was a scary outcome to what happened in Launceston?
Not really, because I think I spoke to you guys, the next day, because I was in doing Channel 7. It might have been on the Monday.
It was Monday night.
Yeah, and I said, we're still going to have some teething issues. It felt yesterday, click, we played some good footy as we knew we could this year, but there's still going to be some teething issues with new guys coming in from other teams, younger guys playing. So it's never going to be smooth at this stage. Footy's never smooth. It's always a pretty tough game. But as I said then, it's going to be, as the season goes on, we're going to be playing better football than what we are at the moment. And last week was disappointing, the 2 weeks prior with the Geelong and Gold Coast, but things went well in the West Coast game, so we're going to be looking to improve every game we play.
Even with your history and multiple premierships, 4 premierships yourself, and all the great success Hawthorns, is there moments where you're second guessing even at the moment? Are you looking at it going, well, this is unexpected, you know, being beaten Tassie by a side like St Kilda by that margin, is there times where you think, has something gone wrong? Are those questions being asked, or are you totally comfortable, we've got this in hand, there's no problems, we'll get it right?
People always look back and think through 13, 14, 15, that it was smooth sailing, Hawthorn were unbeatable, they just cruised through the 3 premierships. We had so many ups and downs through the years. I remember playing Port Adelaide in 2014 when we had a few of the guys there just before Clarko got sick. Port Adelaide flogged us. And they did it a couple of times to us over there, and people would have had the same mindset. But you realise if you're resilient, you keep sticking to it, you keep having confidence in the game plan, keep having confidence in the players around you, that things are going to go back to the way you want them if you're willing to work together and push through it.
We heard the term catastrophic change by the coach in the post match press conference. Admittedly, he did say if things don't change,
I was about to mention
there will
that,
be
yes.
catastrophic change. So it's the way, but things obviously didn't change last week. What does that term mean to you? There's been no major changes at selection this week for the Hawks.
No, he did. He said it after the St Kilda game, and I spoke to him this week about it, and he goes, what people heard catastrophic change, but I said what I said was if this continues to happen, it might be catastrophic change to the game style, or is it, or to the playing list, or to who's getting picked week in, week out. Yeah. So that was more his frustration, saying we can't continue to perform like this. And fair enough, I think any supporter out there, if you have 2 86-point losses and a 75-point loss in the space of 4 weeks, if that continues to happen, then there's got to be some changes.
Yeah, a lot of other news going around. We'll let you off the hook for a moment, Hodgie. The young man by the name of Kelly, who's playing for GWS tonight, yeah. There's been a lot of talk about him and the Kangaroos and an enormous amount of money. Damien, where's that all at?
It's interestingly placed, Howie, because beyond tonight, Josh Kelly will spend the at least part of the weekend in Melbourne when other teammates return to Sydney. And there's a feeling from the Giants that he will use this time this weekend to speak to family, friends, confidants, Das. Quite possibly North Melbourne. I mean, they're in Launceston for a game, so most of their officials are going to be down there. But it is in his mind, Howie. That's no secret. It's a $9 million offer times 9 years, and those numbers are thereabouts right. I still feel, it's opinion only, it can only be an opinion, but I still feel he will accept the maybe two years with an option to stay as a Giant, Dust, just to give it one more, I suppose, contract with the club that gave him his chance. But the fact that it's got to this round seven stage, and the fact the club knows he's going to be trying to at least get his own head around it inside the next 48 hours, with the view then to committing one way or another, is pretty significant.
I think they were very close to signing Josh Kelly. In fact, I think they were almost guaranteed it was going to happen. And then this offer came that you have to consider. I mean, if anyone offers you that amount of money over 9 years, you have to sit down, you have to speak to the people you trust and have a think about it. I mentioned you, Jody, as someone who did make the call to change clubs. If you're advising Josh Kelly, and there's $9 million and 9 years on offer, does he stay for an extra couple of years, try and win a flag at GWS, or does he take the money?
It's always so hard because everyone's personal circumstances are so different. And we've got to remember they may well win a flag this year. I guess it'll depend where he sees his life. And if he is really passionate about moving back to Melbourne and that's where he sees his future, then sometimes if you stay, you can feel like you're just treading water a little bit. If your heart's not in it, you know sooner or later you're going to be heading back to Melbourne. So that'll be a decision that only Josh can decide, but certainly he's one hell of a player, and you'd love him on your list.
But you look back and say he's got more chance of winning at GWS. If you look at Tom Boyd, when he went to the Bulldogs, and they said, mate, you've got no captain, you've got no coach, you are miles away from winning the flag, but they go and spend this money on him. Who's to say that North Melbourne can't jump like the Bulldogs did? Like how teams are developed these years and how they fast track. If you get a game style that teams buy into, if you get a club that everyone's pushing the one direction, you can turn it around in 18 months. And that's where it's a decision that's it's a life-changing decision. $9 million for anyone. You've got to sit down and think seriously, because if he believes that North have the right people at that footy club to push, they could be premiers in a couple of years if everyone's doing the right thing and pushing the right way.
I come at it, Damien, from a non-athletic point of view like you boys do, but he could break a leg around five next year and never play again. Mm. I don't actually think there's a decision to make. $9 million for 9 years.
Just take it.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Why would you risk your future?
Yeah, I don't think...
In an uncertainty.
I know what you're saying. You can't think that way.
Well, why not?
Well, you don't look at the doom, impending doom or potential doom here. I think you look at the blue sky, not the grey sky.
You are very life. Greedy too, Howie.
No, but that's his life set up, Juddy. Greed aside, that is his life set up.
We've worked out he's a mercenary in the Triple M.
But Howie... He will never have another financial concern for the rest of his life.
But Howie,
that's the deal that he takes.
If he rolls the dice on staying for 2 years, and let's say it's at $750,800, and it would have to be something like that, you take the tax out of the difference. There's not much difference. And then 2 years later, if he's a premiership captain or premiership vice captain, it's all everything's
if he's still playing footy, everything's nothing
if.
Goes wrong.
But by the time 3 years down the track, the 7 years beyond that 3 years, it could be anything for him, more than the $1 million that it's already on the table.
The other thing
your kids can't eat premiership medals, Purple, can they?
They can't. If anyone's
listening. The other thing with that, though, is if he's looking at the pressure that Tom Boyd's had, if he's looking at that going, I don't want that pressure for the next 8 years, $9 million on my head. Tom Boyd's copped a lot, even though he's played in a premiership.
As you say, Juddy, if you take big money,
you earn it one way or the other.
One way or the other. He comes to that
I've
every
used that this
single week.
Week.
Nearly Meadows has got a special guest. Nez.
Thank you very much. Yes, I've got GWS coach Leon Cameron with me. We were just discussing. It's a bit weird here. The lights have been off under the roof at Etihad Stadium for quite some time. A bit different for the warm-up, Leon.
I haven't seen that since Waverley days. Look, it is unique. I mean, a lot of our boys come out here you know, between that meeting and the first warm-up just to have some shots. So hopefully they're nailing ones when it's dark. We'll make it easier when the lights come on, I hope.
You have a bit of a puzzled look on your face at the moment. Shane Mumford came in with a bit of an ankle injury that he picked up last week, but no late changes. So is he all okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He trained yesterday pretty well. And look, he probably doesn't train much during the week regardless, whether he's fully fit or not, because as we know, he plays such a combative game. So, but he'll be right. He'll be looking forward to the challenge against Longo. I think it's going to be a great draw.
And Leon, your first in clearances for this year, is that a stat that's important to you, or do they have to be scoring from clearances, or how do you feel about that?
Juddy, I think it's good that it's in your half of the ground if you're obviously clearing the ball, but disappointing if you don't sort of capitalise. I think there's no doubt we are winning that count more than not, but I would have to say that we need to score a little bit more from it. Probably this time last year, that probably would have been our number one strength, and it's probably dropped away a little bit scoring from those clearances.
Yeah, Noel, Hodgie here, mate.
Hello, Hodgie.
Hello, buddy. Asking about Toby Green. People have been saying how he needs to settle down a bit. From playing against him, he plays his best footy when he's on edge, when he's physical, when he's having a crack at the opposition. So people say he needs to tone it down, but from your point of view, you don't want to take that anger out of him totally, do you?
No. I mean, you know, Hodgie, I mean, in your early part of your career, you didn't tone it down either, did you, buddy?
Tried to.
Look, you know what it's like. I mean, when you get the competitive animals that that players are, you don't want to lose that, and especially you know, when you're playing big games. And look, he's got that. A lot's been spoken about it over the last couple of weeks. And look, it's disappointing that he's not, you know, I'm disappointed he's not playing tonight. I can't get away from that, and he's disappointed as well. But 98% of Toby Green, he's very, very good. And this experience hopefully, teaches that lesson of when he's in the moment, and there's going to be a lot more moments over the next 10 or 12 years for him. He's got to be able to make sure that he makes better decisions.
Leon, he's one of the big outs tonight, Haynes the other, but you've got a couple of very big ins too in Davis and Coniglio. And Coniglio we get to see for the first time in 2017. Percentage-wise, what is his fitness going into this one?
It's a real good one, Damien, because, it's 8 weeks. We actually wanted it to be six. Last week they had a bye, the Nefl, yep. So we couldn't sort of give him, 50 or 60 minutes or 80 minutes at lower level. All indications are that he's ready to go. But in saying that, I mean, to come up and play your first game after you've been out for 8 weeks is going to be a huge task. But he is our vice captain. We do value his opinion. He thinks he's absolutely cherry ripe to go. And he'll play in the midfield, which is obviously tough first up. But, and he's going to come up against some really good opponents. But I'm confident he can get through.
Hey, Leon, we were just talking before about Josh Kelly and having a $9 million offer over 9 years at North Melbourne. How do you deal with that as a club? Is there weekly conversations going on with him? Talk that he may stay down this weekend and have a chat to his family. Is that an ongoing thing?
Yeah, it is. It is, Darce. It is going to be ongoing. Really, it's going to be ongoing until either we sign him or it's put on hold. I mean, that's the reality of it all. I mean, he's a terrific kid. I can't speak more highly of him. But, we have to deal with these things that come across our way. And, it's obviously quite unique, that sort of deal in front of him. But, we can speak about it lightheartedly at times, but we've had a really, good couple of serious chats. But also you've got to let him do his own thinking as well. And, he loves this footy club, but, this is a bit of a spanner in the works. But, I'm confident that, he wants to stay at our club.
And Leon, just on that, do you personally feel that the next 48 hours could be pretty crucial to what he ultimately decides to do, given he will be spending it with people closest to him?
Look, there's no doubt, he's going to stay down and spend some time with his mum and dad, and, they're a great family. I wouldn't say the next 48 hours are crucial, Damien, because I think, probably the next month is,
yeah.
Because it's going to be a number of people that he'll confide in.
Then the bye period comes in.
Absolutely, absolutely. So from a club point of view, we'd love to get it done within 48 hours. It'd be fantastic our way. But But, you know, with such good kids like that, we give them time and, you know, hopefully you can make the decision and stay at the Giants.
Leon Howie here. We appreciate your time. Good luck tonight. Just before we let you go, my spies tell me out of the GWS that you are one of the great orators. They say your halftime speeches, your end-of-match speeches are fantastic. Is this the lesson you learned at Darce's wedding when you were the best man and delivered one of the loosest speeches ever known in the history of weddings?
It probably is, Howie. I don't know if I'm the greatest orator going around, but probably went over the top a little bit in Darce's wedding, but he deserved every bit of it.
Fair to say, Nana Darce didn't forgive you, mate, right until until then.
You just still at loggerheads with Nana Darce at the moment.
We're off on a couple of tangents, it's fair to say, Damo. It went more down your 21st angle, Juddy.
No.
One particular story that we'll never go to air. I tell you, Nathan Brown didn't cover himself in glory that night either. What? He works with us on a Friday night. He got hold of the microphone and was disgraceful at one stage. So
we've all got demons, haven't we? Yeah,
we
we appreciate your time, Leon. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
CEO of the Saints is kind enough to join us, Matt Finnis. G'day, Matt. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Howie. Gents.
Wonderful opportunity on a Friday night to really strut your stuff. It hasn't been the most successful slot for the Saints in recent times, but tonight against a top four side with a national audience, the club must be really excited.
Yeah, it is. I had to check the diary this morning, to be honest, make sure it was the right day. It's been over 2 years since we've had Friday night, and as excited about that as we are, you're a little bit nervous as well because the spotlight comes on. But I think that's probably us this year. I think, obviously, last couple of years, there weren't a lot of expectations on the Saints. In fact, we probably exceeded them, you know, in terms of in some instances. But I think the expectations have gone up quite rightly this year, and our job is to rise up with that. And that's not going to be, you know, a linear thing where we kind of improve every week. But overall, that's our job, is to deliver on that.
It's a really even-looking list, I reckon, you guys are developing. Perhaps lacks that star in the middle. I know there's been a lot of talk about Fife this week, but park that to one side. Do you feel like there's probably a star missing in the midfield before the list starts to look more complete?
We'd certainly like to keep adding to it, Chris. We think that Jack Steele, who we brought in the last year, is going to be a very good player. We think Seb Ross is continuing to take a step. And if Jade Gresham can spend more, we think there's got some real quality coming through there. But, you know, certainly when Jack Stephen went out for a couple of weeks, we missed that, and with Armo as well. So we think we're building some depth, and we think we've got some good players who are going to take a next step there and build from within. But we'd certainly like to add some more quality there as well.
And Matt, just an add-on to Juddy's question, I know you leave the people in charge of the departments to go and do their stuff, but when it comes to the acquisition of a big-name player, it's established that the Saints do have a good amount of money to spend, and obviously, even before this week, you've been well and truly linked to Nat Fyfe and others. What do you know about the generics of those projects, and how encouraging are you as head of the organisation to go and get the big fish?
Oh, no, you get involved. I mean, even with, you know, a Jack Steele coming into the in last year, I remember sitting down with Jack and our people, and you pitched the club and, you know, what it is, our vision for the organisation. And I think whilst a player like wants to come to our club, is far more interested in what Richo's got to say to him. I think they want to know where the club's going, and that's my job to represent that vision. And so you inevitably get pretty involved in that.
So you've had the chat with Nat Fyfe, as you have had with Jack Steele last year?
No, in fact, I haven't had a chat with Nat since I was at the Players Association a few years ago. And so, you know, I think you've got to respect, you know, these people are captains of footy clubs. You know, I wouldn't expect that you're going to be meeting with a captain of a footy club, you know, this time of year.
I'd like to know who makes your banners. After last week,
Like that last week, Hodgie.
I did think it was pretty funny. No, yeah. It was good humour.
I thought it was. Was it our Jacks will be nimble? Our Jacks will be quick. Thanks to the Hawks for the pick or something
first
like that.
Pick. Yeah.
No, I think Richo probably raised his eyes. But I think because the kind of guy Richo is, he doesn't want to, you know, be seen as getting ahead of ourselves or kind of potting an opposition, and that's why we love Richo. But I think our fans can have a bit of fun with that kind of stuff. Mm. And I'm not sure what they've got on this week, actually. I should probably be more nervous about that.
I like it, Matt. Got to keep a bit of sizzle in the game. Your other role previously was head of the AFL Players Association, and we read that there's a deal being put on the table. How involved have you got from a club point of view in this deal, or have you just said, I'm now club CEO? Given you know that better than anyone else, have you had extra intention into it?
No, probably more the latter, Darce, in that sense.
Why is that?
Oh, well, I guess because I trust that I think there's good people on both sides of that negotiation, and they probably don't need the bloke who was there last time telling them how to
do their jobs. The AFL don't ring you and say, hey, Matt, we're taking an extraordinary amount of time here. We used to deal with you and it went a bit smoothly. They don't pick up the phone and ask you what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure how. I mean, I remember some of the. I think my wife thought the reason I had arms was so I could take phone calls from Andrew Demetrio and hold the phone out by 3 feet and hear what's going on. So it wasn't always smooth. But look, I think, you know, there's always a bit of to and fro in these kind of negotiations. But, you know, as I say, with smart people on both sides, it sounds like they're getting a bit closer. And I think the clubs recognise that it's the AFL's job to do that deal on behalf. We want to be briefed about the direction it's going and you know, and the timing. It's probably dragged on a bit longer than people would like, but ultimately it's our job to put our faith in the AFL to get that job done right, the right way.
Speaking to the CEO of the St Kilda Footy Club, Matt Finnis, a lot of talk this week about Paddy McCartan. Great to see him kicking a nice little bag full, I think, 7 in the VFL last week. In some ways you're blessed, Matty, because with Rewald up there, with Memory up there, with Bruce up there, at the moment the young bloke ticks 7 goals, but the way things are going, he can't squeeze himself in, which is, I guess, a negative and a positive for your footy club.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's more a positive at the moment than anything. I mean, the fact that Paddy's kicked 10 goals in 2 weeks, it's sounding, is exactly the kind of thing that Richo wants him to do. And you know, Paddy, you know, there's a lot of speculation, but you know, at the end of the day, Paddy knows really well what Richo wants of him and what Aaron Hamill, his forward coach, wants of him. And we hope he kicks another bag tomorrow and keeps pushing his case. But at the end of the day, I mean, we were really happy with the way that our forward line operated last week. It's always going to be hard to force your way into a team that's won by 75 points, no matter how many goals you kicked.
Matty, we really appreciate your time. We're in the Judd Cave next Friday night. Juddies, are you prepared to make your way up from Beau Morrison slide into Brighton? You've got to wear a dressing gown and some type of mask, apparently, Juddy.
And bring a red.
Little mask over your eyes. I think you'd enjoy it, Matty.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, if you want to keep yourself off the front page of the paper, I'll be maybe giving that one a miss.
I think Matty's wearing a smoky jacket tonight. I think he's doing his game to Judd Cave tonight, Matty.
It's a very nice sort of brown...
Richie Beno style.
Yeah, it's got a bit of Richie Beno's about it.
Two-tone tone.
Fair to say I'm a little disappointed with the quality of the dress that you guys have brought to the table tonight too. It's Friday night. We're just dressed up here for St Kilda tonight.
Good on you, Matty. Best of luck to Union Footy Club tonight for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having
Matt
me, guys.
Matt Finnis, CEO of the St Kilda Footy Club. News, what else have you got
to say? Okay, let's bang through some stuff, guys. Chris Scott today, Geelong coach, preparing for a game against the Gold Coast Suns. He's a wake-up to what Rodney Eade is doing in the weeks leading into Geelong games, and that being complaining about umpires, and he's called him out today.
Sometimes saying that you've rung the umpires and got some clarification around some rules can have a benefit. Last year we played the Gold Coast, and Rodney Eade made some comments about Tom Lynch being manhandled, and he got 2 dubious free kicks very early in the game. So sometimes it works. I notice he's done it again. It's not something we've done this week.
I like what Rodney Eade has done regularly in that space at 3 different clubs. His coach puts the umpiring agenda onto the issue, and it does work for him. I like the fact that Chris Scott's awake up to a dust and has decided to maybe have his way.
Not very often a coach calls another coach out in the pre-game preamble, if you like. And, I mean, there's something. You know, coaches are looking for just a minute little mind game percentage, aren't they? Is there anything in that, Juddy Hodgie, calling the umpiring department? Does that go your way?
Oh, it might have a very small impact, but I think it's unlikely to decide the, you know, the result of the game.
But it makes you look, though. If someone says that someone's getting dragged or hold, if Gaz Ablett's getting tagged and someone's holding him, everyone's going to look off the ball. Is he getting held? Is he getting hit?
At least subconsciously, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he did it. He did do it last year with that Tom Lynch, and he did get some frees. He was talking specifically about 2 free kicks that were played against the Suns against North Melbourne. They lost the game by 13 points, and both free kicks resulted in North goals, so that's where he's coming from. Dan Hannanbury, quiet start to the year by his standards, Juddy, and is well down on all barometers that we associate Dan Hannanbury. He's certainly playing sore. We heard during the week that he's got a mild form of OP. He's denied that today. The club's not commenting on it, but our information is that he's sore for starters, and that it could well be just a really mild form of what was once a common footy ailment, which I think you might have had a little bit of.
I had that, and when you do watch Sydney this year, I mean, he was a guy that, from all reports, had an enormous pre-season, you know, ceased all drinking post the grand final. And him and some of the other midfielders that aren't old men, Parker, who's in his prime, they look exhausted very early in the games, and that's usually a sign that you're carrying something. You know, but there's you can understand it when, you know, it's guys in their 30s that look a bit tired because they just haven't been able to get the work in. But when those guys in their prime look really tired early on in games, they're often carrying something, and you know, it wouldn't be
wouldn't surprise me if Hanbury was in that case.
In that case. You had it too, Hodgie? A bit of OP?
Yeah, I think, Jaddy, we both had it. So I had it my first 3 years at the footy club. And it's, as you said, it's just about changing direction, trying to take off, trying to kick around corners. Everything you do, it just seems to be a sharp pain. And it just, as you said, it just after week in, week out of training and playing, it does mentally get you after a while.
Again, it was the injury of the times. Osteitis pubis. You still read about it every
week. Second player had it.
And all the young guns all had it when they first came in. You don't hear about it anymore.
No. You find now the hip surgeries. Players have hip surgery. And that's really to cure the OP. That surgery's only new. That's only been around five or six years.
To ease the pressure around the region.
Yeah, you never used to operate on the hip. You couldn't. But now there's a new arthroscopic technique that brought that in.
He's denied it too, by the way, but we heard it during the week that he's got it.
When you used to get it, it's because you used to overtrain. A lot of it was overtraining, and now you've got all the sports science. You hear all them saying, don't have too many shots at goal, don't train too much. If you run too much in a training session, we'll cut out a few drills. I think that's to try and eliminate the groin issues and the overuse issues.
Juddy, a lot of talk this week about the Rules Committee. They've been in the headlines, not normally the most entertaining discussion, but you are on the Rules Committee. Who else is on it? And how does it work? How often do you meet and what do you blokes talk about?
Who else is on it? Lee Matthews is there, Luke Ball, Brett Burton, Jack Revolt, Simon Lethlane, Michael Christian, there's a few others.
And how does it all work?
Look, it's really just a discussion point. Sometimes it gets reported as if decisions are made in that meeting. You just really discuss various rules and trends in the game, how they're playing out. And I guess those discussion pieces get presented to the commission who ultimately decide the laws of our game.
So a lot of confusion, Juddy, about these rules this year that are causing problem. One being the third man up.
Yep.
The other one that's caused a lot of contention is the deliberate out of bounds, or now as it is, you haven't made enough care to keep the ball in play. Do you get presented with those particular issues more so than you raising them as issues? And then do you discuss it and formulate a platform on it? Or how does it work? What's the order in which it's presented?
Yeah, look, you get presented with data. I wasn't in the Laws of the Game Committee when they introduced that out-of-bounds rule, but it's obviously been spoken about considerably since it's been introduced. You talk about why those things are happening in games, what could solve them, what would be the result of changing the rules. And look, I think that deliberate out-of-bounds rule or insufficient intent to keep the ball in, which rolls off the tongue very nicely if you're sitting in the crowd, I think it's been terrific for the game, and it's really opened up the game considerably and reduced the number of stoppages, which I think has been important.
I like that one too, but again,
There's been a couple of bad decisions.
Yeah.
But two bad decisions, that's nothing to do with the Laws of the Game Committee. That's just human error, which is something which happens with players and something which happens with umpires.
I also like the rule, but what I don't like is the one how an opposition player will let the ball roll out of bounds, so it's a chance of them getting a free kick. If you've got a chance of keeping the ball in play, the player should be able to pick it up and go. I don't reckon it should be a free kick to the team that actually lets the ball roll out of bounds without picking the ball up.
I think there's been a couple of them, and even there's been a Cade Simpson one. It was a wet day, and he was barely there. But yeah, I think we would agree that that's not a great look for the game. The third round up is another one which is a little bit contentious, but one I think really good. I know you don't like it, Hodgie.
No, I was about to agree with you. I'm actually not that fazed by it.
I think it keeps ruckmen in the game. We don't want a game where it's homogenous, where all the players look the same. That's in the game's charter. And it's also the last place on the ground where you see an actual one-on-one contest of strength. Every time in a marking contest now when two players are wrestling, there's usually a third man up air assisting. I think it's great to see one one-on-one contest remain in the game.
Telling the party line very nicely, Jane. We know him a bit better than reading off the manuscript. Fairly dry sort of meeting from experience, the Rules of the Game Committee. None of your Judge Juddy works coming out in there. You'd be playing a nice old straight bat.
No Kim Kardashian references, Jane.
There wouldn't be any around the globe look at the world. Nathan Buckley was on it for a while as well, and he put a request in that for 3 years, let the game sit, let it evolve, let it take care of itself. Is there any merit in that? Are we changing? They might be good, Juddy, but are we doing it too often, changing the rules?
I think I think most would agree that there's been some significant changes in the last few years, and now it would be great to just let those changes pan out and play out. So I don't think anyone's going to those meetings saying, I think we need to change more things in our game.
This is where you've got to see how much power you have. You reckon leave them alone for 2 years? So if they change it next year, you have no power in that meeting whatsoever.
It's a good call, Hodgie. Let's
just see how it goes. Let's see how it goes.
If Lee Matthews brings up a point, do you have the courage to disagree with what Lee's got to say? Or when Lee speaks, everyone just, yeah, you're right, Lee.
He does make some very logical points, Lee. But, but yeah, look, if we disagreed, we'd put our hands up.
Howie, it's when Juddy talks now is that it, people mate? Have is that it? Reaction.
Well, glad someone joined the dots. Purple, that's good.
Well, he took
I don't want to be the one.
He took down a statue in, I think, the first week of the Friday huddle. He wiped Kevin Bartlett off the mat. So
that's right, he did.
He got a statue at the MCG. Don't phase Juddy. He can take you down.
Damo, I've been keeping an eye on the glasses in Stevie J. It's Friday night tonight. Toby Green's not out there. For me, it's a night made for Stevie to do something special. He's been he's been written about and talked about this week about whether going forward he's in the best 22 for the GWS.
Yeah, he is. And I think he's probably been going okay this year as opposed to well. And you're right, the absence of Green tonight could be something that works in his favour. How he maintains the spot in the team, given the extraordinary depth this club has got, is going to be something that is going to be a challenge for him and the coaching staff. But I think it was you, Juddy, last week that said if you get to the finals, and they will, it'd be very brave man to go into a GWS game without Stevie J if he's fit and available.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just gets selected if his form warrants it. He's probably only two bad games away from being dropped, as are most of the players in that team, such as the quality of the list they've got. But like you say, come September, a player with Stevie J's experience and his ability to produce in big games, if I was a young GWS player, I'd want him out there on my team.
A few other walk-up starts to go in. Ryan Griffin gets picked, doesn't he, when he comes back. Lockie Whitfield comes in for sure. Toby Green, Brett DiLiddio, if he ever gets fit. And Nick Haynes, to me, is a star. He's a walk-up start as well. They're all out of the side tonight.
Oh, but I 100% agree. Like a person with Jono's history in big games, I don't really reckon that the form comes in, because some people get nervous in big games. Stevie J, he just lives for it. He lives for the big occasion. Like a Friday night tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and kicks five, just because he knows people are going to be looking at him. He knows he's going to have the swagger. He can talk to people. And that's what finals are about. Finals excites him. And that's why he's had such a big history in big games.
Someone we spoke to briefly before with Matt Finnis, the chief executive of St Kilda, was Paddy McCartan, who's not out there tonight, guys, with the seven goals that he kicked in the reserves last week. He's disappointed at missing, and you'd expect that with someone with pride and who feels he should be out there. I'm surprised that he's not back in on the back of that. I know there's a team structure issue, guys, which you'll delve into now to explain, but I'm surprised he's not out there tonight.
He's a really good young player. It is hard to imagine that they can't fit such a talented player that's just kicked seven goals into that forward line. And it's probably a bit of a shame they don't feel any of those forwards can play down back, because, I mean, even I wouldn't mind seeing Paddy himself down back having a run, because he's a real talent.
I think it's their three talls that have played so well. I said we've got Memory, you got Bruce, you got Riewoldt. We expected Riewoldt to start on the wing last week because that's where he started the other games, but they started more in the forward 50, so you'll have to push either Riewoldt or Memory up on the wing for majority of the game if you're going to fit both Bruce, the other spare, and McCartan if he comes in that side.
We put it out to the Triple M audience at Triple M Footy to ask Juddy or Hodgie or whoever else they might like to ask questions of in the box. Send the questions through in social media. Narrowly Meadows, as well as being Boundary Rider Guru, is now social media director. Nez, I know we've got a lot of questions. We'll try and work through as many as we can.
There are plenty of them. Let's start with Chris Judd. Juddy, am I right in saying that your shoulders have got their own shrine like your Brownlows in the Batcave because you carried Carlton for so long, from Jeremy?
There is a homage to the original shoulders in the cave. They've obviously been replaced with artificial aluminium shoulders since my playing days, but the original ones are hanging up there on the wall.
Hodgie, if you could change one thing about your footy past, what would you change? That's from Josh.
I'd keep it the same, because if you change one little thing, the rest of it may go all over the shop. So I'd keep it the same. You learn from your mistakes.
Answer.
Sticking with Hodgie, are you concerned Clarko will trade you or get rid of you at the end of the season, considering what happened with Lewis and Mitchell? That's from Scott, you can thank.
Thanks, Scott. I'm too old, too slow. I don't think anyone else would want me.
What is the best sledge you have ever heard on the footy field, Juddy? And it can be one that you've dished out, because I know you've dished out a couple of good ones.
Oh, might let Hodgie answer that first.
Is this from Bradley?
I've got the world's worst memory, so I'm
not. They're just not
here,
really fit for repeating on air in the current climate, Ness, without getting some sort of formal investigation underway.
These are all questions off the @MMM Footy Facebook page, Ness.
Juddy, would you swap one of your Brownlows for two of Hodgie's premierships?
Yes, done.
Only one?
Yes, done.
You keep one, though, will you?
I'd keep one.
Who should have gone number one in your draft, of you? Good question.
Ball-y.
That is from Ben Craig.
Luke Ball.
Luke Ball.
Right on the fence, these two, Nez. Don't cop that. Get him.
This is from Chris. Who would you rather be, Brennan Favola or Warwick Capa? That's a tough pick.
Luke Ball.
That's to both of you.
I'll let you answer that one.
I think we'd take the Fevolution over the Woz.
Did we see a photo of Fev in the bath the other day?
That was disturbing.
That was really, really bad.
It was a recreation. It came through to my phone, and I had to have a double take and think, what have we just seen here? It was a naked Fev.
One wasn't enough?
on the comeback trail?
On the comeback trail. Yeah. Naked.
Exclusively told us on Triple M Footy he'll be playing for Collingwood next year.
He did last week. Have you seen the photo we're talking about?
No, I haven't.
So
it's disturbing. It is disturbing.
It is. You can't unsee the photo.
No, and it shocks you.
Can you describe it better than I'm about to?
When you refresh your feed and what pops up is Brennan Favola sitting naked and you can...
On top of another naked man.
On top of another naked man in a bathtub and him staring at the camera in that sort of way that a child does in those sort of bathtub photos. It's pretty damn disturbing.
Is it a recent
It's from this week. It's a recreation from this week. Okay. Let's move straight on. This is from Rob Moore. Juddie, are you really going to let Purple and Howie into the cave? Probably go with the good old rule of only those who have played in the game are allowed in.
It's a very good point.
Oh, whack.
It's a bit rough.
That's a good point.
I don't know that that's fair. I think, you know, we're all part of a team here. Team might, sticks together.
Thank you, might just Chris. Have to pay for entry.
Or clean up.
Gee, what do you feel about that, Damien? The old, you never played, so you don't know.
You can't get the jug cave. I mean, it's not that you
don't know. BT reminds me of that every Saturday.
Listen, it wouldn't be the first nightclub that I've been knockbacking, to be completely honest.
Oh, my goodness.
This is trying to get things back on track here.
Last one here, Nez, very quickly.
No, all yours, Howie.
Oh, no. Now, Darcy has just shown me the photo of... Oh, the Fev. Oh, that is outrageous.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.